If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of our Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. Today, our seminar topic is Living in the Supra-Physical Realm of Miracles. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the anointing from on high, from your higher principles, to flood down to the top of your head and wrap itself around you like warm honey. Experience the cascading chills that will come down over the head, the back of the neck, down the arms. You may feel it come into your hands as a heat, a tingling. Bring it all the way down to your feet so that you're grounded. Always bring the fullness of yourself forward to occupy your body, your mind, your emotions, your soul. Bring all of you in as the radiant, immortal love that you are an embodiment of forever and ever. So to live in this realm that we're moving into, some call it the fifth world, the new earth, Terra Nova, Terra Crista, the seventh golden age, the age of truth, the age of Satyasai, the age of Maitreya, the age of the Christ. So many terms for the same thing. That said, we are simply moving into a dimension in which miracles are the most natural, normal, possible expression of who and what we are as divine incarnations. The very purpose of the body, the ego has used to define separation, to keep itself in a fortress of separation. But under the guidance of the miracle working power, the transforming power of the divine spirit, the use of the body is to communicate love, to make invisible love, visibly present and tangible in time-space. Likewise, time. Time has been used by the ego to suggest that you have a beginning and an ending, that you have a terminal point, that you have limitations, that you're bound to the wheel of karma and reincarnation. And all of that, that's all the speaking of the false self. However, the use of time under the governance of the divine spirit is to give you the opportunity to walk hand in hand with your brothers and sisters into the immortal love of God on a conscious level. So that you awaken from the dream, the nightmare, I would say, of being trapped in a body in a totally dysfunctional, crazy world, couched between a birth and a death. No. You are to walk hand in hand with your brother and sister into the awakening completely from the dream that you've ever been here at all. That's bizarre, I know. But in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God, and you remain still, forever one with God, in completely perfect innocence, perfect holiness, perfect divinity, absolutely unchanged by any of the dream episodes that you seem to have been passing through in time, space, and becomingness. So let me share something. These are excerpts from Lesson 190 in A Course in Miracles. From the lesson, I Choose the Joy of God Instead of Pain. And if you'd like, take it as a meditation. This is quoting the Master Jesus who gave us the Course in Miracles. It is your thoughts alone that cause you pain. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way. There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail. But it is you, the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. As you perceive the harmlessness in others, they will accept your holy will as theirs. When you perceive the harmlessness in the things of this world, they will accept your holy will as theirs, and thus you have the power to dominate all things and to call them as they will be, and they will be that way to you. And what was seen as fearful now becomes a source of innocence and holiness. My holy brother and sister, think of this a while. The world you see does nothing. It has no effects at all. It merely represents your thoughts. And it will change entirely as you ask for what you truly want. When you elect to change your mind and choose the joy of God as what you truly want. Yourself is radiant in this holy joy, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable forever and forever. The world may seem to cause you pain, and yet the world, as causeless, has no power to cause. As an effect, it cannot make effects. As an illusion, it is what you wish. Your idle wishes represent its pain. Your strange desires bring it evil dreams. Your thoughts of death envelop it in fear. While in your kind forgiveness does it live, pain is the thought of evil taking form and working havoc in your holy mind. So let it go. Let it all go. Allow the one that dwells within you, that truly knows who you are and from whence you've come, and who you are eternally, let that part of your mind be renewed in the truth. And may that mind, the same mind that you have read in your scriptures, was the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Let that same mind be in you this day. And so again, we make the only choice that ever can be made. We choose between illusions and the truth, or joy and pain, or heaven or hell. But really let our gratitude to our inner teacher fill our hearts, as we are free to choose our joy instead of pain, our holiness in place of sin, the peace of God instead of conflict, and the light of heaven for the darkness of the world. This is a lesson that we're all learning because we're all pupils of that self-same Holy Spirit, that it is our thoughts alone, that the interpretation that we place upon things, that give all the meaning and definition that life in this world has for us. It's an extraordinary thought that our thoughts alone color our experiential life. And thank God we can change our thoughts. But we do need some help, because this has become life after life after life, an ingrained tendency and way of looking at things through the lens of the illusion of separation from goodness and grace and God and miracles and happiness and joy. And the only thing that I can say to the whole thing is, thank God none of this is real. I say that almost every day. Thank God, none of this is real. That every single one of us will awaken and will laugh the whole thing off as one big colossal nightmare, with a few happy dreams interspersed, perhaps. But the happiness and the joy and the love is what we take with us into eternity. We don't lose that. We don't lose the love that we've had for our loved ones, the love that we've had for beauty and joy and peace and goodness and grace and all of the things that are really real. So don't be concerned about that. That is safe, because that is truth. So any time you are feeling less than joyful, less than wholly at peace, acknowledge, and if you can, name whatever it is that has come up for you. Because we have to see it and name it and turn it over consciously to the Holy Spirit for correction. Just make that your normal practice whenever you notice the slightest little twinge of unhappiness and despondency or any unhappy thought, any negative feeling. Stop, identify it, turn it over, and let it go into the grace, into the miracle-working power and transformative presence of the Divine Spirit. Make that your practice. The minute you do that, your mind is corrected. That's the amazing thing about this. Your mind is corrected without you doing anything but willing, being willing to say, you know, I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't like it. Holy Spirit, would you please take this feeling of depression, this feeling of hopelessness, this feeling of pain and illness and whatever it is, anger, whatever, excuse me, take it and heal my mind. Give me that mind that was in Christ Jesus, that mind that knew its oneness with the Father all the time, never doubted it, and turned always to the Father to know what to do, how to proceed in life. That mind, Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's done. And you just need to be vigilant, as it says in the Scriptures, be vigilant for the things of the kingdom of God. Because we're getting ready, and we are, as we speak, entering the fifth dimension, which has been called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven but conscious souls occupying the world in a loving, caring, kind, peaceful way? That's all. So, have you become aware of miracles in your own life? Are you experiencing a miraculous life? perhaps sometimes, right? Please. Or are you wandering all over the place, wondering where all the mystical, star-dusted, miraculous things of life have gone? Where's the magic? Where's the golden sprinkles? Are you bogged down in 3D-itis, feeling like you're slowly sinking in quicksand? Or have you been able to make that shift from physical identification to spirit identification? So, for those who are still seeking, which would be all of us, I think, to live in the realm of the miraculous all the time, let's look at that. Let's look at what that constitutes. And here I want to share with you a story from my dear friend Drunvalo Melchizedek, when he was first starting out in his very astounding and miraculous life. When he was first developing full trust and surrender, two angels appeared to him, a magenta angel and a green angel. And this is what they told him: not to worry about money. That's the beginning stage. That they would give Drunvalo and his wife everything that they needed. They said, pay attention here, they said there was a natural law that God had made with man. Mankind could either rely on God to give them sustenance, or mankind could rely on themselves. If they relied on God, everything needed would always be within reach. But if they relied on themselves, he would not help them as they requested. So have full faith and trust in God. Now, this is what happened to him. I'm quoting him. Drunvalo's wife lost faith and forced the issue. I suppose, I'm paraphrasing him, but I suppose like many women, she probably was nagging him to get a job and get a life and provide for the family. You know, would make perfect 3D sense, right? No, not right. That's not living by faith. That's living by works, the works of your hands, which is coming under the law of karma and hence the law of the negative power and reincarnation. You see, that's part of the trap. That's part of the trap. Keep you going on the gerbil wheel. Anyway, Drew's wife lost faith and forced the issue. So she returned to Berkeley, I guess where they had been living, to get a job. When she did that, she lost the ability to see the angels, and her life returned to, quote, normal. Before, the angels had appeared, and she had seen these things and had experienced the miracles of how they were provided for over and over again. But she was, as we might say, bogged down in 3D-itis. So it was interesting. All of the magic left her life, and she became, as he put it, life became solid for her. And the magic faded from her life. Now, Drunvalo said, the angels never left my side. To this day, I leave my sustenance up to them and live and give my life energy to God. I have faith and trust in the unseen. As my faith became stronger, my wife's became weaker. We can see the glass is half full or half empty. So remember this story, for we will be tested regularly. The cities and the natural laws of God? Personal power or reliance completely on God? I thought that was an amazing thing that he shared here. That according to him, according to the angels, the angels told Drunvalo there was a natural law that God had made with man. Mankind could either rely on God to give them sustenance, or mankind could rely on themselves. If they relied on God, everything needed would always be within reach. But if they relied on themselves, he would not help them as they requested. So have faith and trust in God. So this is a good place for us to ask ourselves, is my physical life more solid to me than my spiritual life? What's solid and real for you? That will give you your answer, whether you're trying to live life by your own power and strength and ability and cleverness and the works of your own hands. Remember, that was the first thing that happened to Adam and Eve? When they stepped out of conscious fellowship with God, conscious oneness in the presence of God, one of the things that happened was that from then on, food that had been supplied to them abundantly without their labor, all of a sudden they had to make their living by the sweat of their brow. And women had to bear children with great pain. Interesting. You know, on Venus, where we're already living in the Golden Age and have already made that quantum leap, we're already living the miraculous life, there's no pain in childbirth. And nobody works. Nobody has money. We don't need money. We don't use money. We don't have commercial enterprises. What we do is create because we love to create beautiful things. That's our pleasure, our joy. And nobody has a sense of ownership when anything is created, which is created by thought, by visualization, by meditation. It stays there for anyone to use. Everything is enjoyed in a sense of oneness and community and family. That's the ideal. And you see, that's what we're moving into. But to live at that state, we're going to have to sacrifice trying to make this world and this illusion real. We have to decide that no matter what the evidence is that our physical eyes are telling us, it's an illusion, it's false, it's unreal, it's never happened. And then to quote A Course in Miracles, nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So I had a similar experience because we're all trained to rely on God. If you're going to be a spiritual coach, teacher, mentor, speaker, writer, whatever, prophet, you're going to be put through severe testing for surrender and trust. And to begin with it, you have to go by faith because it takes experience and sometimes years of experience before it's solid in you, and that's your automatic default, is to turn to God for anything. You don't make a call to anybody else. You don't call your best friend. You don't call your guru. You don't call anybody. your first thing that you do is close your eyes and go within and commune with your Creator. That's the first thing you do. And you ask what you should do. And if you sit quietly, it will come to you. It will just drop into your mind. And you'll do it. And there'll be no confusion in that, because there's never confusion when the voice of God speaks. And bear in mind, it's always one voice. It can sound like your voice. It can sound like your guru or your teacher's voice. It can sound like many, many kinds of voices, but only one voice speaks for God. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that dwells within you and communicates to you through your intuition and your conscience. So you don't have to go very far for your direction. But you do need to turn to that part of yourself, and you do need to be quiet and listen instead of freaking out, running all over the place. So I was standing in the Insight building in Santa Monica, where I was managing a store for the products department for the Insight trainings, which we did in the facility there. And I've been there a couple years, maybe a little less than 3 years. And I was getting more and more and more agitated, because although I thought it was my ideal job in my ideal place with ideal conditions, I was married to a wonderful man. Everything seemed to be going really well in my life. And I was absolutely miserable. I thought I was going to burst. I had something in me that had to be expressed, and there was no way to express it. So one day I heard that inner voice, which sounds like a booming voice and a gentle voice at the same time. It sounds like it's within you and also around you, so that you would wonder that other people perhaps could hear it. But you always know when God speaks to you. There's no doubt about it. And the voice said, stop this work you're doing and minister full time to the star seed. And that was the end of my commercial work in the world for a paycheck. That was 1988, sometime around June. And I did just that. I stood in my living room with my arms out, and I dedicated myself to be of service. And then, since I was the breadwinner for my family, I was taking care of my mother and my granddaughter that I had legal guardianship of, who was an infant at that time. And I thought, oh my gosh, who's going to pay the rent? How am I going to keep up these expenses, which at that point was like $3,000 a month? And that voice came back very sternly and said, you are not to ask that. We will train you. We will send the people to you. And we will make certain that you always have what you need. Your job is to make the commitment. And so that's when I put my arms out and I said, yes. Yes. And my work started the next day with someone they sent who, I don't know even how the person found me. Well, yeah, I do know they sent her, okay? And I started doing soul purpose overview readings that I had very shortly, 2 months in advance, booked. I never had a day off, and I was working sometimes 16 hours a day, as I used to say, slaving over a third eye, doing these readings for people. And finally they said, you need to take at least one day of the week off, and better still, take a period of time just to be without constantly working, so that you can refresh and reboot your energy, so to speak. So I had to schedule time off And I had to begin to pace myself so that I wasn't doing several readings a day. I would maybe do two, because I never had a time limit. I also didn't have a specific charge. I sort of let people give what they could. And one day they said, "No, you should have this suggested donation." And so I did. And I kept, through the years, I kept the same amount. And of course, I never turned anyone away who could not pay that. They also said, never promote yourself, never advertise, and never turn away anyone from your work that has no ability to pay. And that was what I have followed for all these many, many years. And you know, it's amazing, because I've been around the world many, 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 many times. I have lived entirely on love donations all of these years. All of these years. And I always had the belief that whatever I needed was at hand, so I could reach out and it would be there within my immediate environment. And that has always proven true. I also never knew for certain where my money would come from, so I had to constantly walk by faith and not by sight. But the Holy Spirit rose up with such empowerment within me that I was able to do that. Now, my husband had a similar journey of trust when I married him. He was working as a stockbroker for the New York Stock Exchange. And because he suddenly became very aware of the dishonesty that was part of the game, let's say, and an opportunity came up in which he was tested, because all he needed to do was do something slightly underhanded, and it would give him several thousand dollars. And I told him, I said, don't even think of it. Don't ever sacrifice your integrity for money. And so that was pretty much what he wanted to do as well. And so he left that job. And we went for 3 years with no income at all. He could not get work anywhere. And I had no ability to do anything. I was taking care of a young child. And also, the only thing I knew how to do was to be a circus performer or a professional dancer. And there really wasn't much calling for that where we lived. None, so to speak. So anyway, we went from having a very, very comfortable income, 3 houses, 5 cars, beautiful, beautiful things that we had, property, antiques, all sorts of stuff. We lost all of it. Every single bit of it we lost, including our cat and our dog. Everything kind of went away. And we were on food stamps and welfare. Not even us, because we weren't qualified. But we got aid for families with children. And, you know, my husband being very handy and doing many things, he was able to exchange labor for certain things that we needed. But we had a beautiful home provided. We always had food. We always had everything we needed. And it was where we learned that complete faith and trust and surrender brought us into the realm of miracles, because we had miracles were things that I just thought in my mind, gosh, I wish I had. The next thing I would know, somebody would knock on the door and say, hey, would you like this? One time, food manifested. I had a small can of tuna, and guests that had come in all of a sudden, lunch, they were hungry. I had nothing in the house to feed them. So I did what they did do in Baba's ashram. I chanted Om Sai Ram over my can of tuna, and I just began to make tuna sandwiches. Not only was there enough for everyone to eat a big, thick tuna sandwich, there was tuna left over. And so like that, one thing after another, after another, after another. But it was always when we were at our absolute last second that it would come in, so that we were tested up until the last second. And so it's going to be like that with you too. You're going to be tested. Are you going to have faith? Are you going to rely 100% on God or not? You know? So miracles always transcend the physical, the body, the world, the limitations of time and space and all that stuff. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level of identification. That's why they're miraculous. That's why they heal. They simply restore the truth to the mind, to the condition, to whatever it is. They restore the truth. So, I've had a lot of opportunity to watch miracles. Miracles of healing, provision of daily food, daily necessities, healing of children, and healing of all kinds of people, and also by children, of the deaf, the blind, the lame. Even resurrections are occurring of the dead in such number in Africa, for example, where they have very pure, solid faith, that they have stopped counting them now. After they reached, I think, 100 and something, they stopped counting. And this is reported by Iris Ministries, which functions in Mozambique. And it's a ministry of Heidi and Roland Baker. And they have to depend upon God's provision every single day to feed the hundreds of orphans that come across their doorstep. They have only the Holy Spirit to rely on. They have no, virtually, they had no support whatsoever from anyone, anywhere, when they started this work many decades ago. So that's one example that I have witnessed from afar and also up close, because Heidi Baker sometimes comes and lectures here in the United States, and she's from California, so I'm always glad to go and see her. But when she came into her work, which was very non-impressive to begin with, she was a minister, I believe, and of a more orthodox type of church. And the Holy Spirit touched her in a way that she was rendered inoperable, let's say. She couldn't move for a period of a week. People had to carry her around, feed her, take care of her. She was completely gone in the spirit. Just her body was there, and there were people there that understood that she was being worked on by the Holy Spirit. And so they took care of her physically until she came back to herself. But when she came back, oh, wow, was she transformed. Oh, wow, was she anointed. Oh, my gosh. And went then with her husband to Mozambique and started this extraordinary ministry with the waifs and the orphans and the street urchins and the, oh my gosh, with nothing, out of nothing. And everything, all the food, everything had to materialize every day. In fact, she said, she's written a couple wonderful books, that if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, we don't eat. But there's never been a time that the Holy Spirit didn't show up, because there's all these children that must be fed. I'm sure Mother Teresa has many, many of those stories too, because within the Catholic faith, there's a long tradition of miracle-working saints. They don't teach us that we can all be miracle workers necessarily. They attribute it mainly to saints, special people. But Jesus is very, very clear to communicate to us in A Course in Miracles that miracles are for everyone. They're for everyone. They're everyone's right. They're everyone's nature. And if they don't occur every day, there's something wrong. We're supposed to be living a miraculous life. So I know when they went to film Mother Teresa, since she wouldn't allow any electric lights in her very, very simple abode, she just said, oh, go ahead and film anyway. And it looked like they had full lighting for the cameras. It was the miraculous light of the Holy Spirit showing the works of this great, great woman of God who is now a saint. We didn't have to be told that, did we? It was obvious to everyone. I've also been, about a 10-year period of time, very, very involved with the charismatic Christian movement. And I traveled with Benny Hinn Ministries, with the Healing Crusade Ministries, for a couple years, and over to Israel with him. And the miracles that I saw were absolutely indescribable. I saw every manner of dis-ease you could think of vanish under that ministry. And one time Jesus told Benny, he said, these people think you're doing the healing. I want you to leave the auditorium. I'm going to do the healing, and this will prove to them that you have nothing to do with it, because he was always saying, I don't have any more healing power than a fly. I'm as surprised as you are when you're healed. So Benny went outside of the auditorium. I happened to be in the choir at the time, so I was watching the whole thing with great interest. And the Holy Spirit absolutely invaded that place. There were healings everywhere. There were crutches and wheelchairs and people everywhere. There were so many hundreds of people healed, there wasn't room for them all to testify. And then finally, Jesus told Benny, okay, you can go back in the room now. And so he had the great joy of hearing all of the testimonies. I've also been very active with the Joyce Meyer Ministries, another fantastic woman of God, that miracles happen just as she's ministering throughout the whole auditorium. And she's not touching anyone physically. She's up on the stage. But these miracles are happening as the Holy Spirit works with the people. Why? Because there's an atmosphere of expectancy and faith. You see, when you have a congregation that has one focus, one intention, and that's to experience the miracle working power of God, they want to experience God. That happens. Also, the Holy Spirit ministers in different ways to different people. One ministry is very interesting. As the pastor preaches, gold fillings appear in people's teeth. I've seen that. I've also been present when manna, that flaky white stuff that the Israelites ate during the 40 years in the wilderness, that manna will manifest in people's Bibles. I've seen that happen. Then I've seen gold dust will appear on the pastors as they're preaching the gospel. It'll cover sometimes their suit, sometimes their shoes, sometimes the whole body will look like it was sprinkled with golden sprinkles. I went to a church where they'd had, the congregation had received the gold dust sprinkling, and I sat on the pews, which were cloth, and I hoped to scrape some of the gold dust up under my fingernail to have it in my Bible. But you know what? I couldn't scrape it up. The gold dust was then embedded in the fabric and could not be scraped up. So you knew nobody was going around sprinkling or doing any kind of nonsense. There were also many congregations where jewels would drop down out of the sky, showering during worship and preaching, and also white feathers, like angel feathers, I suppose, and gold dust. And even one church had gold nuggets that fell all over the congregation and were sufficient to pay off what they had remaining on their church. So all of this is done according to your belief. That's a quote from Jesus in the Bible. It is done to you according to your belief. So that's why it's so important to have an attitude of faith, trust, surrender, expectancy. These people that I just spoke of, they fully expect the Holy Spirit to do his job. They fully expect Jesus, who is the physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit, they fully expect that miracle-working power to operate. They have no doubt whatsoever. None. They know they're not doing it. They know they're simply a focal point to attract the people to come in and to organize an atmosphere of worship that would invoke and call forward the power of the living God. And I am so fortunate to have been in those congregations for years, and I don't have any access to anything even remotely like that now where I'm living, and boy, do I miss it. But I know it's because I am to find that same place within me of faith, trust, and absolute surrender. And so I've been kept kind of like a hermit. Or as I told somebody, I said, just consider me a contemplative cloistered nun, because that's how I live and have been living now for over 9 years. But it has released tremendous intensity of the presence of God within me and has led to incredible experiences of the transcendental states of consciousness within the God realms. So what I want to say here is that many people today are living in the higher spiritual dimensions where miracles are a normal part of daily life. And for them, these miracles are normal, expected, natural, and they're always spontaneous. They're not premeditated, nor done by the individuals themselves. They're totally involuntary and not under any person's conscious control. That's the first thing you will notice. With the Holy Spirit, you can never manipulate the Holy Spirit. You can't bargain with it or do any of your ego shenanigans with it. Now, the psychic power you can mess with, and that's called black magic, and good luck. I mean, don't get in that. The psychic material power can be manipulated, and that's black magic. Don't go there. But the Holy Spirit is pure. It's from God, and it responds to the purity of your aspiration, your trust, your faith, your surrender, your prayer, the ardency of your heart. So, for these people, miracles are just a normal life. And Jesus teaches us that consciously selected miracles can be misguided. So that's why, again, you can't tell the Holy Spirit, you've got to do such and such, or will you do? No, you've got to just have faith that whatever comes forward is for your highest good. That the Holy Spirit is always working all things together for your highest good, which may not be anything close to what you are hoping will happen or expect will happen, because the Holy Spirit knows where you're stuck, knows where you have to be corrected, knows where you need to be set free. We don't realize how bound we are until we're free. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I was so bound. There's such a heaviness. And we learn to live with it. We don't even notice it. We just think that's the way things are. And it's not. It's not the way things are, and it's not the way they need to be. So miracles operate through faith and confidence in what the Holy Spirit can do, and not our ability. The emptier one can be of personal selfhood, the clearer an instrument one is for the Holy Spirit to operate through. So, this Holy Spirit, or Divine Spirit, is the presence of grace. It's the presence and the source of miracle transformation. Miracles transcend time because They transcend the lower mind wherein time is born. And time is useful only as a means of awakening beyond time to the eternal life we share with God. Therefore, miracles transcend all sense of separation. Because miracles are the truth of our eternal oneness with our Creator. Miracles are insertions of grace into events which would have otherwise followed karma's directives or the ego mind. Karma requires both time and ego mind for its unfoldment, whereas miracles transcend both. Miracles are born of love. You are a miracle because you are born of love. Therefore, miracles are quite natural and normal to us as children of God, created by love for the purpose of extending love throughout creation. Miracles should occur daily and regularly, for they are truth's natural flow of existence. Where there is love and truth, there is oneness with the Divine Spirit, the author and bestower of all miracles, and the finisher of our faith. Because what we began in earnestness and faith, we can never do perfectly without the anointing and completing of the Holy Spirit. So our task is to get in motion and to surrender the results and the fruit of our action to the Divine Spirit, knowing that it will complete to perfection what we began, however imperfectly. So if you want success, you must always offer your action to God. Always offer it. Dear Lord, whatever it is, whatever, even watching TV, offer your TV watching to God. Offer the reading of your book, the eating of your meal, the drinking of your beverages, whatever, whatever. Offer it to God. And if you have pain in your body, offer that to God as well. What will God do with pain? Recognize it as an illusion and dissolve it back into the nothingness. That's it. So in every case, in every situation, in everything that you're going through in your life, offer it to God and it becomes a yoga. It becomes a tapas. You know, yogis mortify the body. They do all sorts of difficult things to purify themselves. And that's called tapas. And you can do the same thing by offering your little daily vexations and pains and discomforts and whatever to God. Then, instead of just being more karma, it becomes a yoga, and you step free through grace. These are ways to live in higher consciousness. These are ways to get out of 3D-itis. These are ways to dissolve the seeming solidity of this world, which Sai Baba and Jesus and everyone says arises only within the mind. In the Vedas, it says, I am not in the world is in me. And that is basically what Jesus told us at the beginning of our seminar this evening. So we have to dissolve the belief that we're in a physical body, in a solid world, and begin reminding ourselves minute by minute, the minute we begin to identify with the physical realm, to remind ourselves, this is not the realm of reality. I choose to live in the realm of miracles and to identify with spirit. I am not a body. I am not a mind. And the world I live in is the world that was created in heaven's loveliness by my father, mother, God. And that's the world that I choose to live in. And then, as Junvula was taught, you rely on God 100% for your sustenance. Does that mean you don't work? No, but if it is your dharma to work and you are employed, you do your work for God. You offer it to God. You don't work for your boss. You work for God. Whatever you do, that is your love made manifest. You do it as with as much care and integrity and excellence as you possibly can. But you do it for God. And that turns it into yoga. That then becomes your spiritual exercise and your love made manifest, which is your ministry. So you see, it all works together. And then you find that you're living in a higher dimension in which you don't experience the world in the same way anymore. I don't. All I see everywhere I look is God. That's it. How do I see God? Well, I see the goodness, the beauty, the kindness, the graciousness. Nothing else actually shows up in my life. So that's how you can tell you've also made the shift to set those gnarly things don't show up anymore. You're not living in the same dimension. So your experience of life is, as Jesus calls it, a happy dream. But then there becomes the point that the happy dream falls away too, and you're simply awake, fully awake, as a divine being. And with love and innocence and purity, your very nature. So then it doesn't matter to you where you are, because wherever you are who you are, and you're God's love made manifest. So, as children of God, we were created by love for the purpose of extending love throughout creation. And just as this world is false and projected by the ego, the real world of God you experience by living in the supraphysical realm of miracles. And that, as I understand it, is ever expanding. The kingdom, the glory, and the love of our Creator. And that's who and what we are part of. And that's our function. And our function and our happiness are one and the same thing. So if you want happiness and joy and the golden sprinkles and the magic stardust and all of the wonderful things, put your life in God's hands. And let the Holy Spirit do the directing thereof. And be happy. Because that is how you say thank you to God. Your gratitude and your joy. And that's the true spiritual life that's lived beyond 3D-itis. And may we all go there. And stay there. Love and grace to each one of you. And let's go out chanting. One, Anai, Hu. Deep breath.
Anai Hu.
Namaste.